permission. So, and it looks like it is recording now.
It is recording now. Great. Thank you.
Perfect.
All right. Perfect. So here we go. We've got Steve Tate from Doe Mountain. Steve's with the 10 Green Land Conservancy. I have to remember y'all changed your name. Bridget Massengale with Thrive Regional Partnership. We got David Arnold in this group, State Forester. Chris Richardson, one of the assistant director for the Tennessee Wildlife Resources Agency. David and Chris look like they're both on the phone and don't have the video capabilities today. So we'll talk through all this and get started. So first of all, I need a chairperson. Normally, it's pretty easy to do with groups like this. Somebody just kind of self-selects themselves and decides that that's what they choose to do. And I'd be more than happy if somebody would like to volunteer rather than being voluntold to kind of chair this group. And what that means is it's kind of chairing it and facilitating it for today. I'm just sort of acting as your advisor and consultant, really. But you guys will have the opportunity to meet separately, for the duration of this planning project and add additional people to the group as needed, because that's part of what we want to talk about is considering the topic and the subject and the theme. Who else should we invite outside of this track committee to be a part of this group? So first of all, do I have any takers on somebody to chair the group, to chair this particular subcommittee? And I see y'all looking at each other. I can tell. Everybody's looking at the person next to them. Well, you know, Steve Law is the first person that I see on my screen. Is that a good way to do this?
Not necessarily.
Steve?
Sure. I'll serve as chair.
I think you would be a great chairperson for this subcommittee. And I think we've got some very, very capable folks on this group that if for some reason you couldn't make a meeting or you couldn't do it, then somebody else would kind of come in and take your place. But I think you would do a great job. Thank you for accepting that.
So our
theme is conservation. We kind of lumped conservation and rural regions together. I think we could probably actually take the term rural economies from the 2020 plan if we want to stick with that theme. But looking at kind of rural economies, distressed counties, it might even float over a little bit into economic impact, but right now we're looking at how we serve the rural distressed areas of Tennessee as far as parks conservation. I think it can be landscape driven as well when we look at conservation topics and conservation initiatives. We didn't have this as an overarching theme in the last plan. We had state park management and we had rural economies and we had other topics and other chapters that kind of hit on conservation, but we didn't have a conservation theme or chapter. So this is going to be a little bit different. So let's kind of flesh out what we think. And after this, I'm going to let kind of Steve take it from here. But let's talk about kind of refining our theme and what this group is actually going to be focusing on. What should be sort of the meat of this group? And that I think will kind of lead into our overarching goal. What would be our goal statement for what we want to accomplish with this theme and the topics that we need to focus on?
So I'd like to put something out there.
Okay, sure.
Something I put quite a bit of thought into is rural tourism. So what is rural tourism? It's agritourism, heritage tourism, and ecotourism. So you can tie all those together and under the umbrella of rural tourism. And I don't know where we go from there, but we were talking about these distressed counties with these fantastic natural amenities and things like that. Certainly the ecotourism potential is really there. And, you know, the U.S. has never adopted this whole ecotourism idea. So if you go to Australia, there you can be certified as an ecotourism resort or a family-owned operation or a guiding service or all those types of things. And the, you know, our potential here in Tennessee for international tourists, it should be, we should be the designated site aside from the, away from the coastlines as far as what we have to offer here. And what they're looking for is experiences and, you know, not the woods of the world and things like that. You know, they want to go out and engage in the local culture and the local communities. And you can link these three things together in some of these rural areas, then you have reasons for people to come and stay a few days as opposed to go, you know, come and do a raft trip and then leave or something like that. So I may be jumping the gun here in some of this thinking, but I wanted to lay that out there for you.
Well, I think that was actually mentioned in the 2020 plan, where we talk about agritourism, ecotourism. What was the other one that you mentioned?
Heritage tourism. Yeah.
Okay.
And my question for you on that one, though, is that what this group is, or is there another one that's doing the economics per se? And I guess because you had said this could also be called rural economies, that may be what's applying to this group. But just to make sure that our purpose is on target, is that what this focus, or is it to be more on the conservation side things and with the rural economy? Well, yeah. Can you help clarify that?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. And I do think it does, I think we are supposed to lean more towards the conservation side of things and the landscape kind of view. Obviously, the rural tourism aspect can be folded in with the rural economies, you know, concept and kind of looking at rural economies, and could fall into the economic impact, the funding and economic impact group. But I know that, you know, there are several things that will probably overlap and that we can share with other groups, or they may be threads that will go through a lot of different groups. For example, one of the surveys that came back from one of our track members said they felt that diversity and inclusion, equity, should be a thread that is woven throughout every group that we have. We shouldn't be a separate group, a separate subcommittee, even though I think it's good that they come up with a foundational goal and sort of what the focus should be for the plan. But I did like the concept that every group probably needs to talk about that in their group. And so, you know, we may see as we start going down the road and we include more people on this committee that, you know, well, I think we'll, it's going to be hard today to say, okay, here's who we are and here's our goal and move forward. I'd like to be able to do that. But I think it is going to take some time to flesh it out a little bit. But when I think of conservation, you know, I do think of more landscape view of land conservation. I do think of, you know, David had mentioned the, you know, the forest health issues and concepts there, and TWRA manages a lot of lands, you know, across the state, and how we're kind of all connected and how we manage land. I think it includes resource management, natural and cultural resource management. So that's sort of how I've been viewing the conservation, you know, the conservation theme, I guess. And again, rural regions may not be may not fit with this group. It may not be the right fit with this group. It may need to go, if we're talking about rural economies, it may need to go back up there with economic impact and funding. I don't know.
Ann, this is David. I'm sorry, I had to take a call. I heard part of your comments, and if some of this is a repeat, I apologize. But I came into this group with the intent to make sure, I'll follow up on some of your comments and something I've already said relative to we need to work together to ensure our state's forests are healthy. They're a tremendously diverse, valuable resource. I mean, when you think about Tennessee's forest-based economy, I'm talking about forest products, hunting and fishing, recreation, and this number may be a little outdated. It's like $43 billion or something like that. And that's all dependent and contingent on, first of all, having forests. Second of all, those forests are healthy as well. And there are some pretty serious forest threats that our forests are getting ready to face. Some of them we're already facing. Emerald ash borer, yeah. Gypsy moth.
Yeah.
And all host of things, you know, we're concerned about Asian longhorn beetle that was recently found in South Carolina. And all host of things that come along with an aging forest. And just understanding those forest dynamics, those issues that they bring about. And now I'll try to put it in the context of recreation or parklands. You know, aging forests is going to mean things are going to change. And are those changes going to help you meet your management objectives or be contradictory to those management objectives?
Mm-hmm.
You need to know that. And if they are, can you do something to maybe mitigate or prevent those changes? I'm trying not to come across as a timber beast, because a lot of times to address those situations, it does, you know, harvesting trees is one to do it. But mm-hmm. I know that that's not Park's mission necessarily.
Right.
But 150 years from now, our forests are going to be different, regardless of where we want them to or not. And those changes, do they meet, you know, Division of Forestry's management objectives, TDEC's management objectives, et cetera? So that's going to be a reoccurring theme anytime I have an opportunity to comment, is forest health. Our forests are dynamic. They're not going to be what they are, what we're looking at right now. And sort of tied to that is what information do we know about state lands, state forest lands in Tennessee? What's their current condition? What forest, you know, what risks are they going to be facing? And should we and could we do something to mitigate those risks?
And this seems like it's the more we talk about this, this seems like it's a really broad, all-encompassing topic area or goal. Because the first thing that came to my mind is that this is an opportunity to really start addressing access and equity to natural areas, not only through state parks, but also through local parks, state forests, you know, any outdoor natural area. And I know that TDEC is putting a lot of, and the governor is putting a lot of attention into distressed counties, especially. We just completed the first phase, the mapping phase of 10 Green's new strategic land conservation plan. And one of the elements of our plan is in total alignment with our mission, as it always has been. And that is to try to encourage greater public access to natural areas. And so one of the maps that we're using is really a heat map that shows distance that people have to travel, because there's no good comprehensive database of local park systems. It's really based on state parks, state natural areas, state wildlife management areas. And it really shows how some of these more rural communities, the citizenry there has to travel huge distances mm-hmm. to have access to an outdoor public space. And I think, to me, that's an area that we should be looking at. It ties in with the conservation, it ties in with the land acquisition, it ties in with perhaps where TDEC should be looking in the future to, if TDEC is going to expand its park system, and I think that would be good to know up front. You know, there are a couple of ways that you can expand park systems. You can either build off of current parks and, you know, enlarge them, or you can create new parks. And in past, you know, as you said, in the 2020 plan, created three new parks in the last 10 years. Is that part of the administration's goal in the next 10 years to continue increasing parks, or is it going to be more focused on maintaining what you've got and possibly even enlarging what you've got, but not creating new separate, distinct management areas.
Yeah, we're gonna see taking care of what you have continue, that theme continue in this administration anyway, but that's why they've asked us to put together these guidelines or criteria for establishing new state park units. Some state park systems have that. Tennessee has never had that. We've based it on what people have brought to us and what legislators or political things might be going on. And that became a state park for that, for, you know, no other reason than we should have, that should be a state park. It's got a cool waterfall on it, or, you know, I'm kind of exaggerating a little bit, but we never really had any criteria to put it up against. Does it meet these minimum criteria to become a state park? What is significant about it? Can somebody else manage it or own it better than we can? Why does it have to be a state park? And so we do have a document in draft form right now that defines a state park, talks about what makes a good state park and what criteria should be present. And so we can certainly fold that into what we're doing too. I'd love to have you guys even look at it. Our state park managers have been reviewing it, but it'd be great for this group to kind of, you know, give some ideas and feedback on it as well. But really, let me, before we run out of time, let me just throw something up. If I can share my screen, let me show you the National Recreation and Park Association's their definition for conservation. When we look at, well, if it's going to let me.
So while you're doing that, is the whole idea of the state recreation area was to provide state opportunities for access to natural areas that don't necessarily meet the specialness of what a state park should be. A state park should be something really special for some particular reason, but you can have other areas for recreation under the management of state parks.
Let's see, can you guys see that?
Yes.
Okay, this is the National Recreation and Park Association. They have three pillars that kind of guide what they do. And so this one talks about the conservation pillar. Parks are key to ensuring the health of our environment because they play a critical role in maintaining healthy ecosystems, providing clean water and clean air, enabling conservation of natural resources. And then it talks about the mission of public parks and recreation at all levels should support the conservation and stewardship of land, water, and natural resources. So that's what I'm thinking about when I think of conservation, broad-based conservation practices. I think of parks and public lands, and I think of stewardship and these kinds of things. So I don't know if this is a good starting place. And then we can kind of weave in other, because as you've noticed in the Tennessee 2020 plan, we might have had an overarching goal or an overarching theme, but then there's a lot of different subheadings or subchapters or topics underneath those headings. So if we could decide on a general kind of an overarching goal that we feel might guide us, and then we can put everything else underneath that, that might be a good starting point for today. And I don't know if you guys see anything from this that kind of piques your interest and feels like it says what we need to be looking at. And then further on down, it goes into some benefits. You know, this may even be where, you know, Kayla mentioned the outdoor offices of outdoor recreation, you know, I think there's a lot of things that can come into play under a conservation heading. Access is right there, offering the public access to safe, affordable, healthy ways to experience and appreciate nature. Sustainable landscapes, economic well-being of communities. So that might be where we can pull in the rural economies or the rural regions. And making sure that they have access and benefits from outdoor recreation.
Hey, Ann, this is David, and I know there's probably, I can't remember the names of the groups that were set up, but where you want to call it environmental education or conservation education, that was a high priority in the comments that we saw in the survey results. but I don't see that as a benefit listed here anywhere. Should that be part of this document, or is that getting out of our swim lane into somebody else's swim lane, or maybe it's there, I just don't see it.
You're talking about education?
Yeah.
Yeah,
conservation, that's a separate, education or environmental education.
That's a separate group. They actually, at least for now, the way that Kimley Horn put the groups together based on the survey results, they lumped advocacy and education together. In the previous plan, it was advocacy and funding, but funding is now with economic impact, and they have advocacy and education together in a group. We have conservation and rural regions, so we just need to kind of fine tune what we feel our target needs to be, or our approach, or our goal. You know, what do we want to accomplish with this theme? Is it the right theme? Maybe we take rural regions out. Does it need to be in here? Does it need to be, you know, conservation and stewardship, for example, and then everything fall under that? So I know we got 4 minutes left, I think. Aren't we supposed to be done at 2:30?
Yeah, I think we are. And I think you're right in that, that I'm wondering how the rural regions fits into this, because it seems as though if TDEC is going to be looking at improving current land holdings in terms of natural resource management and infrastructure management and things like that, more so than expanding the park system into, say, more rural areas that don't have ready access to a state park, that maybe the rural regions doesn't fit the main bill of this. I think the access and the equity issue are still hugely important issues for the state to be considering, but for this group, does it really boil down to, are we looking at trying to come up with recommendations for the appropriate management of state parks versus state natural areas, and even designation of recreation areas, and make it more condensed?
I think it's more of a principled discussion where we can look at not necessarily how each agency, like TWRA, state parks, whatever, manages their properties. Although I do think that we need some guidance to make sure that we're doing it properly. What are we missing? But I think it's more of a collaborative approach. What are some things that we're not doing that we could do and do together? Looking at everybody else's planning documents, for example. I know all of you guys have your own plans, but we don't know necessarily what is in those plans to know that if what we put in our plan is going to be in alignment with everybody else's. So that may be one area where if we look at all of these broad planning documents from forestry, from TWRA, from all the NGOs that have land conservation plans or stewardship plans, Where did we all meet in the middle? You know, what are some things that we can all kind of do together? And I've heard the state recreation area concept mentioned a lot in the last 5 years. I think it's still a good idea. We're working with TWRA and some other agencies now on kind of a similar concept for Natchez Trace State Park. It has never had its own really good identity. And so, we're kind of looking at you know, how we manage that area together with forestry, TWRA, TDEC, and state parks, make it more of a, you know, a sportsman's paradise kind of an area. So I think there's, you know, potential out there, and we're running out of time. We definitely need to have another subcommittee meeting, I think, or allow more time in these future meetings for just our group discussions. But
Hey, Ann, this is David. Just as we're shutting down, I like what you just said, and somebody used the term conservation and stewardship to sort of better identify the work this committee was doing, and that name just sort of resonates with me.
Okay, thank you.
We haven't been given a time warning yet, have we?
Yes, it came up. I saw it up at the top of the screen. I don't know if we'll immediately shut down and she.
We're done. We just got the answer. Yeah.
Did everybody get done with
that? Sorry, Bonnie.
Back in the main room.
I'm muting myself.
Hey, I'm in Everybody's April's talking. Room. How did we get in April's room?
We're all coming left. Back in.
Back in.
We I missed that. That was a profound statement Bonnie was just making, and I missed the tail end of it.
Yeah. So if there was a notification, Alicia, we didn't get anything.
It flashed up. It was real small.
Oh, okay. Oh, did it? Well, then maybe I just missed it. Yeah, so because it was like Bonnie was in mid-sentence, and we like, man. Time warped.
Still shows that
we still
teleported.
It still shows my group is recording. So I don't know.
Oh, it still says mine is. Do you want me to stop it?